today is found in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. We find that Darius set up over the kingdom 120 princes, and over these 120 princes he set three presidents, so that the princes could give an account to these presidents, and the king had no damage. And of these three presidents, Daniel was selected and preferred by this Darius, because there was found in him an excellent spirit, and he meant to put him over the whole realm. Of this man Darius, he was uncle over Cyrus. Cyrus and Darius had made war against Babylon, and they had taken in this beautiful and great city, and they had likewise received this to their other territories, the Medes and the Persians. And this Darius with Cyrus, they were to rule this kingdom. But Cyrus, he consented that his uncle Darius should reign as king over this kingdom, because Darius was much older than Cyrus, and he had already been reigning over the kingdoms of the Medes and Persians. This Darius, he was 62 years of age, and he selected Daniel. He preferred him above all the princes and all the other men that were around about him who were seeking to have a position like this. He preferred Daniel because there was found in Daniel an excellent spirit. This man, Daniel, then, was a man that had the Spirit of God in him. We couldn't have a more excellent spirit than the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Not only was he a good man, a faithful man, but he likewise was a wise man, and he was gifted from above with wisdom and understanding. He had been in the courts of several kings already in Babylon, and it was written of him and his three companions that amongst all the wise men and Chaldeans that were in Babylon, there were none found that were so wise as Daniel and his three companions. Therefore the king, he preferred him because he showed more princely qualifications than any of the others. And he meant, he liked him so much, he wanted to set him over the whole realm. This Daniel then was placed in this position by God. It is true, we must praise this man Darius, that he selected this Daniel, who was a captive, who was a Jew, who was of another country, but he did not favor any of his own, but he sought wise and men that were gifted and able to rule his country, and therefore he chose this Daniel. And Daniel then was placed over all these princes and placed over the other presidents too. And of course this caused these other people to be envious, to be jealous. They hated this man, Daniel, for his integrity, for his honesty, for his uprightness, and for his righteous dealings in the position that he was placed by his king. Daniel, they sought occasion against him. They sought to find fault with him. They wanted to bring him before the king, if possible, and accuse him of doing something that was wrong and contrary to the laws of the Medes and the Persians. But in all their searching and seeking to find something wrong with Daniel, they could not. They couldn't find any fault with him, nor was there any error found in him, because he was faithful to his God and to his king who he served. And this is a wonderful thing when we consider this man Daniel and the character that he had and the revelation he made in the midst of this Babylon. When I consider this, and you may consider it with me, how different was Daniel than you and I? Daniel was faithful. He was without fault, without error. Can we say that of ourselves? The Bible says this of Daniel. How many faults have we? How many errors do we not make? And oh, what do when we do these things? We make all sorts of excuses, and we try to pass it off on something else. We don't bring it home to ourselves and say, I was the cause of it. Oh, no. We have the same nature that Adam and Eve had. They likewise passed these things off on others. And we do the same thing that even to this day. Oh, what a mercy if we have grace and God has plucked us out of the world and put his fear in our hearts that we may reveal this in our daily life as Daniel did. Daniel was an exception in this, my hearers, that there was no fault found in him, no error found in him, and that he was faithful in all his dealings, whatever he had to do for the government of this Medes and Persians. He was upright, he was honest. But these men were seeking to find something wrong with him, to pin something on him so that they could complain to the king and have him done away with. But even these ungodly men, these wicked men, they had to confess too. We will not find anything wrong with this Daniel, except we find it against the law of his God. What a mercy, my hearers, if other people could say that of you and I, that they couldn't find any fault or any error or anything wrong in us, except they brought the law of God to us. Then we are all guilty. Then we all must say, before the sight of God, we are faulty creatures, and we are filled with errors. And they could not then find anything wrong with Daniel. And Daniel, of course, he had to keep his eye upon these men too. He was the president, set over them. And as you know, politicians, they have a way of trying to bleed people for money. And in all probabilities, these princes and these other presidents, they were seeking to make themselves rich too of this Babylon and of the government and of the revenue that they were to bring in to the king. But Daniel, he had his eye on them, and they didn't like that either, because he was honest, he was sincere, and they had to reveal unto Daniel what they collected, and so much had to go to the king so that the king wouldn't suffer any damage. And therefore, they hated him the more. And we find that they gathered together these presidents and these governors and these princes and these counselors and these captains, and they decided that they would make a statue and make a decree which they would get Daniel to be guilty of. But they knew that he was a religious man, a praying man, that he lived a holy life, and they knew that every day he prayed at a certain time. And they got together, these men, and they decided that they would make this statue and this decree and present it to the king and have the king sign this. And if he signed it, which was according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, well, then it was never to be altered. So they came to the king with this decree and this statue that they had formed together. And they said, O king, all the presidents and all the princes and all the governors and all the captains, we all have consented to this statue and to this decree, which we present unto thee. And that is that if any man or any woman or any person make a petition to any god or any man within 30 days, except unto thee, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And now, O king, sign this decree. Now, this was something that this Darius was taken in with. He was flattered with this. Oh, he thought, do these people think so much of me? Do they like me so much? He had so much pride in him at the present time working, and he likewise had probably the devil instigating him in this too to sign. As you know, the devil came to Adam and Eve, and came to Eve especially, and said, If thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt not die, but thou shalt be as God. And now this, what these men wanted this king to sign would make him like a little god over his kingdom. Everybody would have to bow to him. Everybody would have to ask him. Nobody was allowed to ask anybody else anything. Only to the king. And now this favored the king very much. He was flattered with it. And we find that he signed the writing and the decree. Now only consider this statue and this decree that these men formed together. And we may see in it how wicked it was, how devilish it was, and that it was entirely against the law of God. For they were not permitted in the first place to ask any petition of anybody, only of the king. Now this prohibited even a little children to ask their parents for something to eat, for some bread. It prohibited beggars even to stop begging. They couldn't beg. It prohibited likewise those that worshipped idols and gods of their own fancies. They weren't allowed to worship them. It prohibited likewise even these men who formed this statue in this degree from bowing down to their gods. For surely they worshipped idol gods, these people. They were all idolaters. And this cut off even their friends from trying to worship their gods. Now they said when they presented this to the king that all the presidents and all the counselors and the princes had consented. It was unanimous. And we don't believe this. I don't think Daniel was even consulted in this matter because this was aimed at him. And he was the leading president. He knew about this, but you may be sure that they didn't ask him to go along with it. And furthermore, maybe a lot of these princesses didn't consent either. But this they presented to the king in this way, that everybody signed it and everybody was willing that this should take place. And therefore, the king, he signed this writing and this decree. And now these men, of course, they were in their glory, we would say, because the king had signed this. Now they had something whereby they would get this man Daniel. And they knew that he was a religious man, that he served God faithfully, and that he prayed to God every day. And therefore, they aimed at this so that they could find fault with him doing this. And now this man Daniel, he knew that the king had signed this writing and this decree. Now, as the best president that they had, the leading one, it would have been right of him to go to the king and complain and say unto him, this is a very unreasonable law which you signed. But we find he didn't go to the king with this. He had a right to do so. But he went to his king, to the God of heaven and earth. This is where Daniel went with his problem, with his trouble. And we find that Daniel was accustomed to worship God every day. And this man Daniel, when he heard that they had got the king to sign this, he went to his home. And he had a room, and in this room there was a window which he opened towards Jerusalem. Every day Daniel went three times into this room. People could see him there. This was customary for him. And he went to this room, just as he always did, aforetime, it says, and he made his supplication unto his God and his thanks before him. He bowed down on his knees three times a day, and he opened the window which opened towards the city of Jerusalem. And we may believe that this was customary of the Jews to do this. The Jews, likewise, had in their writings the prayer of Solomon. And in Solomon's prayer we find that he makes mention when the people of Israel would be carried away captive and they were brought into strange lands, and when they were given to repent of their sins and would turn and face in prayer and in supplication this land, this city, and this temple that I have built, or here thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive the transgressions of thy people. So this was the custom probably of all the Jewish people that were captives and that were in this Babylon. But Daniel then, irrespective of this degree, knowing that the penalty was that he would be cast into the den of lions, he went to his place of prayer and offered up prayer three times a day. And this man, Daniel, when he was praying, we find that these princes assembled and they came to him. They came to him for some matter probably of the government to question him and to ask him something. This was on pretense. This was just to find him doing what they had made this decree and statute against. And they came there and they found him praying, making supplications and giving thanks unto his God as he always did. Now this man Daniel, when we consider this, we would say this law and this decree was made concerning us. What would you and myself do? The penalty was as it was with him. It meant that he should be executed by lions. Some have said, well, he should have went some other place. He could have went into another room somewhere, or he could have went out into the country somewhere, and he still could have bowed down and made his supplications and thanks before God. He didn't have to do it openly. Well, my readers, he had been accustomed to doing this openly. And now if he went away and did not do this as he had done before, then his friends would think him a coward, and they would think that he discontinued doing this. And likewise, it would be something against the God in heaven, against him who Daniel worshipped, to whom he prayed and made supplications. Irrespective, my hearers, if there were some that did speak as I just did, we will not condemn Daniel, because we found that Daniel found God to be with him. He trusted in his God. Concerning this statue, this decree, we have at the present time in this great country in which we live some sort of a statue and a decree. Not as bad as this one that we read of. But as you all know, 100 and some years back already, our schools were opened every day with prayer and with reading of the scriptures. This has been going on for over 100 and some years, probably as long as the nation has been formed. And now we have some wicked men, some ungodly men, men something like those that Daniel had to contend with. They have probably no religion whatsoever. They have brought in and agreed that this should be discontinued in all the schools throughout the United States. And now, of course, if someone contends against this law, which we find many doing, there are religious groups that disagree with this, and they attempt to go on praying and reading the scriptures, but they are transgressing one of the laws of the United States. And they likewise will be due to be penalized. But considering this, my hearers, how sad then is the state and condition of us as a nation, where we have even rulers and governors and men in Washington that go along with these things. How little religion do they have? Even generally speaking. And what are we finding in and through this? There is throughout the United States many families that never pray, never read the Bible. They bring up their children like heathens. And as they get older, they live like heathens, without God, without any thought of eternity. Will you wonder why there are so much robberies, murders taking place, so much violence going on in this country? Well, this is a great lack in our country, my hearers. This is a going back from God. When our youth are not even instructed in praying and reading the scriptures, even in the schools, and forbidden to do so. Well, they were forbidden here in the Bible, in this incident, not to offer up any petition to any man or to any god save unto the king, for fear that they would be cast into a den of lions. But we find Daniel faithful to his God. Would you be faithful? Suppose it was to worship God and die. Don't worship him and live. What would you do? Consider it, my hearers. This was the case with Daniel. Would you be faithful? Would you be like Daniel? Would you put your trust in him? Would you rely upon him? So this Daniel, he is a type of each and every child of God. And we find Daniel a praying man. He went home and he prayed. His house then was a house of prayer. He prayed in secret. He prayed before his family. He prayed likewise in this little room that was attached to his house, and where the window opened unto Jerusalem. And this man, he gives us an example. He then likewise, as we read, knelt down three times a day, a very good posture to be in before that great and that glorious and that divine being whom we worship. And this shows humility, this shows awe, this shows reverence, that when we bow our knees before him, that this is what Daniel did three times a day. And this Daniel, and he came out for his God in the midst of this city, which was filled with idolatry. And this then teaches us that our houses should be houses of prayer. We should have a family altar. But we should also give up supplications and prayers and thanks unto this God in heaven above, just as Daniel did. And likewise, that we should bow our knees. When we pray, he bowed his knees three times a day. Very good posture. Do you do this, my hearers? Do you offer up prayer and supplication in your house? Can your house be said to be a house of prayer? Are you a praying woman, a praying man? Or don't you have any time? Business too much? No time to pray. No time for God. Or whoever you may be, in whatever state or whatever position you may be in, and you have time to eat. Three times a day, Daniel prayed. We eat three times a day, most of us. Our bodies need food and nourishment to go on in life. Should we not then likewise pray three times a day for our immortal souls? Do they not need to be saved? Do they not need nourishment? Oh, if you neglect of this duty which God commands us to do in his word, oh, how poor you are, how wretched you are, and that you have no feeling for your immortal soul, much less for the God in heaven in whom you live, move, and have your being. Oh, let me excite you to this wonderful duty, my hearers, praying unto God. God commands us to do this. Daniel was a praying man. He found much success in prayer. He found access to God. He found nearness to God. He found answers given unto him from God above. Oh, what a wonderful duty then, to find God's ear open unto our supplications. And he commands us to pray unceasingly. And we find many of the saints of old in this glorious exercise. And they likewise were heard and were answered. And the Lord Jesus Christ spent whole days and whole nights in prayer and in supplications when he was here upon earth. And with many tears, we find the scripture relating this to us, of the Lord of heaven and of earth, praying in this respect. Should we not then be likewise conformed to his holy and to his blessed image? And when he was here upon earth, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. There may be some listening to me that say, I don't know how to pray, and I don't dare pray in my house. I don't dare pray before my wife, before my children. We pray together, but we pray for ourselves. I don't dare come out. Go to God with it. Ask God to give you boldness, to give you a little liberty. Go to him like the disciples did and say, Lord, teach me how to pray. It's your command that we should pray. And the Apostle Paul says, we know not how we should pray or what we should pray for. But the Spirit prays in us with groans unutterable. What a mercy, my hearers, that when we can come to God in prayer, asking him to teach us, asking him to lead us and to give us to do the duty that he commands us, where we cannot pray as he would like us to do. He must give true prayer. It must descend from heaven above in our hearts. Shall there ever be any sigh, any groan, any faith and exercise? By him only must it come. And still, we are duty bound to pray. We know not when God might come, when God might influence us, when he might take some short sentence, some short word, some short groan that we utter, and may hear it, and may answer it. My hearers, let me entreat you to live a life of prayer. Pray continually. Persevere in it. And you will find that God in heaven above and will be favorable to you at one time. And he will take notice of you upon your knees seeking him. We have been singing out of a psalter, a very nice psalter, psalter number 16. That he never forsaketh the soul that has sought of his grace to taste. Ah, may you seek him for grace. Seek him while you are yet healthy and well. For there may come a time for when you will be laid on a bed of affliction. You will be in so much pain and so much suffering and so much agony that you cannot pray. You can't even think about praying. Oh, what a mercy to seek him when we are young in life, when we are healthy, when we are well, and to find this God listening to us and answering us and putting his fear in our hearts and giving us to walk before him in the land of the living. Oh, make it a duty, my hearers. Do it, even if you only do it 3 times a day. This is not sufficient, for the Bible teaches us that we should be praying unceasingly. I wonder if there are any here that do that. You remember a time in your life when you prayed unceasingly? Or that you had to say of yourself, you were nothing but prayer. You went to bed with prayer, you opened your eyes at night, you were praying. You got up in the morning, you were praying. All day long you were praying to God, walking with God. I wonder if there are any here that know something of that. How sad it is that this praying spirit so departs. Oh, my hearers, that we have to urge and force ourselves sometimes to go in secret to pray, where there was a time when we had such a delight in prayer. And that it was the life of our soul to go to God. We enjoyed communion with him, and we heard his voice, and it was sweet to draw near unto God. But all these days in which we live, it's a rare thing to find somebody so exercised and so prayerful, seeking God's countenance. But Daniel, he continued and he persevered in this, and we find that these men found him praying, which at this time was contrary to this law and this statute that the king had signed, and which meant that Daniel was guilty of it and was liable to be cast into the den of lions. We can see these men going to the king. O king, they said, did you not make a statue and a decree and sign it, that if any man ask any petition of any god or of any creature besides thee, that he would be cast into the den of lions? The king had to agree. He says, that's true. He says, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, I have signed that decree. Well, they said, that Daniel, one of the captivity, one out of Judah, he doth not abide by this decree. He pays no attention to it. And we found him praying unto his God and kneeling before him. Of this, when it was brought home to Darius, struck him so. He was sorry already that he had signed such a decree. He realized that they were aiming at Daniel with that degree. He hadn't seen it that way. He was so pleased with himself, so lifted up with himself, and therefore he had signed it. But now when these men came and pointed out to him that Daniel was guilty of this, then the king was troubled. And he put it in his heart that he would deliver Daniel. He decided that he would deliver Daniel from under this being cast into the den of lions. And we find the scripture teaches us that he labored until the sun went down. He tried everything. And now these men, they knew that he was doing this. They knew that he was trying to get Daniel from under it. And they went to him. And they spoke to him again, that it is according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which also was not. So he could not find any way of delivering Daniel from under this sentence. According to the commentary, these people that were living in the land of Persia and the land of Media, they made sort of a god of their king. If he signed a law, they were assured that there was nothing that could be brought in against this law, and that this law was unalterable, and that whoever transgressed it should be punished. They held this king up as a god in this respect. And now their laws were so that they could not be changed. Still, according to the commentary, the king had the right either to slay a person or to save a person. I wonder why he didn't use this authority. He had the right. You know, you read that of Nebuchadnezzar. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would save, he saved. So it was with Darius. And still we find that with all that he tried to do, he couldn't save Daniel from this degree and this punishment which was attached to it. So they took Daniel, and they brought him, and they cast him into the den of lions. We don't read one word that Daniel said. You don't read anything. In my little mind, I was wondering what was going on in Daniel. I would have loved that the Spirit of God would have written that prayer in this precious Bible that Daniel had in his heart when he went to be cast into the den of lions. I am sure that he was praying. He was a praying man. But what he prayed is not written. And not one word did he say either before that he was cast into this den. My time, my hearers, is far gone again. The Lord willing, we'll pick up the lesson from this point next week. What happened and how God saved Daniel, of this we will remember next Lord's Day, the Lord willing. That's all for today.